This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Welcome to the Gas House Gang with Chris Ranji, Tom Ackerman, Matt Pajeski, Frank Ladd, our producers, and you, the best viewers and listeners in all of radio and YouTube and X and Facebook. That's where we are. We're all over the place. We're live. We're here. We're here for an hour. This show has done very, very well. I just appreciate everybody's contributions to the show. This show started as a streaming-only show. We got it going on the air during baseball season, the baseball offseasons, where it started as a hot stove show, I would say, Chris.
And love a good hot stove.
It's been good. I mean, even through what was a shaky, at best, baseball season for the Cardinals, a runway season. I hope we retire the word runway forever. The runway is closed. It's time for a rebuild, and we'll be along for every step of the way. Last season was interesting because the Cardinals, from the beginning, kind of told you that it was going to be a step back. And still, they took a lot of criticism. Fans did not go to the games. Seats were empty. We all know the story. But they listened, and they paid attention, and we have a lot of people interacting with the team.
Well, it's important to note that, and I think we all understand this, but it's okay to reiterate it, that just because fans have said, I'm not going to ball games, I'm not paying money for a product I think is subpar, that does not mean they don't still care a lot. It's when they stop caring. It's when they stop listening. It's when they stop getting angry at the team, when they're mad at the front office or frustrated. That's when you start to worry.
Yeah.
But as long as Cardinals fans care, are mad at you, that is a good thing. And I think that sports teams around the country, all professional sports teams, should understand that. And I think sometimes, I'm not saying us here, but I think around the country you can get a little sensitive when you're being criticized as an organization and say, oh, the fans are against us and they don't know anything. Nah, man, that's what you want. You want people to be upset with you, because when they are upset with you, that means they are still passionate about you and it is easy to bring them back in. It's when they stop caring, that's when you need to worry.
The St. Louis Cardinals are one of the most recognized teams, not only in baseball, but in sports. I think if you say St. Louis, the St. Louis Cardinals, people know what that is. I mean, even if you're not a sports fan, you know what that is. It's a tradition. And the fan base is famous, I mean, for being kind of all over the country and along with the Cubs and the Braves, you know, big regional teams in the National League and et cetera. So, you know, thank you to the fans. We'll continue to follow them. And then there's the St. Louis Blues, who, it's a completely different situation. The Blues started the season. They were supposed to be the team that was going to be the one that changed St. Louis this year. The Cardinals were down. You know, the city had a bad year. And the Blues were going to step in and be a playoff contender right away.
Well, how many times did we, at the end of Cardinals season, last couple of weeks of September, and even when October rolled around, and we're still talking about the aftermath of the Cardinals season being over, and how many comments we would get or text messages we would get from people who'd said, well, at least Blues are coming up. At least hockey's about to start.
Hockey.
Hey, guys, start talking about the hockey team because the Blues are good this year.
They're good.
And this first couple of weeks of the season, 3 weeks, has just not been inspiring at all.
That's right. They had a lot of hype, and the fans, you talk about a bandwagon. I mean, it was all aboard. Everybody was ready to go, and I'm here to tell you, they stink. I mean, they are bad, like alarmingly bad, really bad, to the point where I went from being excited about what I might see to last night, I'm like, why am I even watching this? What am I doing? The World Series is on. Why do I keep doing this to myself? It got that bad that fast. I mean, they weren't just losing games, Chris, during this 10 games. It's only been 10 games, but it's been enough to see that they're not just losing them, they're getting absolutely flattened. I mean, they're giving up 5, 6, 7 goals a game and not even competitive in these games. It's not like they're not out there trying. They just look completely overwhelmed. They look like they're not communicating. And when you're not communicating, you're not a confident team. You cannot be like that in hockey. In hockey, you have to be precise, and one little thing can turn the tables on you. And it seems like every team is taking advantage of the Blues right now. I mean, they are It is a complete mess. Now, there is some breaking news on the Blues that just came across within the last hour, and that is that they are calling up, and this screams desperation to me, they're calling up Dalibor Dvorsky, their big prospect. I mean, that happened fast.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to light a fire somehow, because otherwise it seems like it's only been 10 games, but I think they've used every line combination you possibly could. They've changed the code a million times, and it still doesn't work. So they're bringing up Dvorsky, who has played in 6 games for the Springfield Thunderbirds, and he's been good. He has 3 goals, shares the lead with 5 points overall. He's only 20 years old. He ranked 3rd on the team last year in his AHL rookie campaign with 21 goals and 24 assists. He represented the team at the All-Star Game in the AHL. He's one of the top prospects in hockey, 10th pick overall, first rounder in 2023. Dalibor Dvorsky now enters the conversation.
Well, I guess whatever, right? I mean, you've got injuries that you're dealing with anyway, but I don't know. I feel like this is, you're just sort of throwing things at the wall, hoping something sticks, hoping something ignites, and maybe they have a turnaround. And yes, they've done this before. I know we talked about it yesterday. And they will bring this up that, hey, 2019, look what happened. We were in last place in December, and look what happened. Last year, they were not doing well, and then they had a good second half run. I'm tired of counting on miraculous second half runs. Let's just, how about you play well when the season starts and just go from there? And so you don't have to go win 12 or 13 in a row to get yourself back into contention. You don't want to fall too far behind. And I don't think we want to overstate where they are at the moment. It is not like this play has put them in an insurmountable hole. It is still very early in the season. We all recognize that. But you do not want to put yourself in the kind of hole that is very difficult to dig out of. And I don't think Utah is as good as they are presenting right now, though they finally lost after winning, 7 straight games. They got 16 points in the Central Division. They're tied with Colorado right now. The Blues,
they have so many young studs. It's
crazy.
They do.
Yes. The Blues only have 7 points, and that is with 10 games played. And they're not the worst team in hockey right now. I don't know that that's the bar you're looking to get over, but they're not the worst team in hockey right now. However, you do not want to make this too much of a trend for too long, because that second half surge they've been counting on a few of the last 5 years they played, can't keep counting on that stuff, because there's going to be a time where it doesn't come.
Yeah.
That 12 game win streak isn't always going to be there for you.
You're right. It's not like the Blackhawks are still bad and you can just beat up on them every time you play them. I mean, they're starting to emerge a little bit. Hello, they just smoked the Blues not long ago, 8-3. So, you know, some of these teams are starting to catch them a little bit, and the Blues are going to get left in the dust. I don't want to sit here and say that it's over, but they have to really pick it up to get. They're not even close to being in playoff contention. It's only 10 games, but man, 10 games of misery. I mean, they look really, really bad. They play Vancouver tomorrow night at Enterprise Center, and it's time to pick it up. Jake Neighbors is out for at least 5 weeks. That's when they're going to reevaluate him.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Well, I mean, 12% of the season is over, about. It's not like
baseball? Like 162?
Yeah. It's not like this is over or anything. It's just you can't let this go on for too long.
Yeah,
and, it's not that they are losing and their flukish losses, because they're not. I think every game they've played and lost so far, they've deserved to lose those games. It's not like a bad... They've had a couple of bad bounces, but that isn't why they're losing. That isn't why they're getting blown out at times. That isn't why they're up 4-0 and lose 6-4. That's not why. It's not why they give up 2 goals in a minute to start a game. That's not why. So you just can't let this get too far away from you, because you continually play with fire, and ultimately it is going to hurt you in a bad way, and it will be unrecoverable. That's the point. I think that's all we're saying. It's not alarmism. It is just saying, hey, now, you can't do this for too long, because you can't count on something spectacular happening later in the season to get you back into contention, especially if this is supposed to be a team that not just is a playoff team, but one that can get to the playoffs and then make a little noise while you're there.
Big Mark wants to know what I'm seeing as the major problem. I see they're beat to the puck constantly. You know, they definitely have had, not to pick on one guy, but Logan Mailloux, who looked pretty good in the preseason. Now, when the real games start and they are hitting harder and they're getting to the puck quicker and things are starting to, I think, overwhelm him.
Yeah.
I think his head is spinning right now, and they have to figure out how to alleviate that. They've tried everything, though. They've put young guys with young guys. They put veterans with young guys. They put veterans with veterans. Those D pairings have moved around quite a bit.
What's interesting about the numbers is they're not scoring very many goals. They're in the bottom tier as far as that goes. They are giving up a ton of goals, and it's really not on that many shots. I mean, they are, what, in terms of shots allowed during the course of the game, they're 28th out of 32 teams. They're not allowing a ton, but a lot of those that are getting on net are going in, which is kind of alarming. And you'd like to think that's got to be some sort of just anomaly, that it won't continue like this for very long. And I hope that's the case. But when other teams are getting opportunities, they're either really good opportunities or the Blues are just, they've been really lousy at stopping those.
Yeah,
And the Blues aren't getting a whole lot of pucks on net either. They're bottom tier in terms of that too. So nothing is really going right for them at the moment. This is just a collection of a bunch of bad, and it's all happening at once.
And you covered the offense there. I covered the defense, and we, of course, won't leave out the goaltending, which you just alluded to. That has been not good. I mean, Jordan Binnington, who actually bailed them out of two possible breakaways last night and kept Detroit from scoring a touchdown in the game, ends up, he hasn't been good. Joel Hofer hasn't been good. The only guys I can think of who have impressed me, Neighbors, who's not around now, Kyrou's actually been pretty good. I think Kyrou actually looks like the Kyrou that you wanted him to be. He's a playmaker, and they just need to find the right combo to get him jump-started even further. And Snuggerud. I think Snuggerud's legit. A 21-year-old, he's a sniper, he's a playmaker too, and it's just a matter of time before he goes on a hot streak. But they have no cohesion, then, and they have they look so out of sorts. There's no flow in their game. It's just very difficult to watch. It's like consistently bad.
Yeah, you don't have the really strong goaltending to cover up the mistakes, which can happen a lot. I mean, if you've got a team that's not playing well in front, oftentimes, if you've got a terrific goaltender, it's gonna eliminate some of the issues, right? Or it's gonna cover up some of those issues. But Hofer's got what, a 5.8 goals against? He's almost giving up 6 goals a start. That's not good.
And I believe in Jim Montgomery. Let me say that right away.
He's got a track record.
His track record's tremendous, and I do think that he knows that. This thing, he's actually shocked. He used the word shocked last night as to how bad it's been, especially defensively, and just the overall communication of what's happening out there. So that probably keeps him up at night. And Doug Armstrong, who has always been a bit of a, not gambler, but he'll always make the aggressive move. I will tip my cap a little bit today on Dvorsky. I'm not, that doesn't alarm me at all. That is kind of fun to me. It's a bit of a distraction. I want to see Dvorsky play. I had a much different mood this morning before the Dvorsky call up, and now I'll be curious to see. That's not going to fix everything, but it's something. I mean, it shows some sort of desperation, some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, aggression, just the urgency.
There you go.
Is the word I'm looking for. There is urgency in the Blues front office right now that they have to get this going immediately. There is no let's be patient with this team. Not even through 10 games. That can't be.
Well, I'll tell you why, Tom. It's not just about piling up the losses. It's about setting a tone, because you can't allow this psychologically to get away from you. In the sense that we've already discussed this before, that you can't have players showing up to the building every night, wondering as soon as they give up a goal, if it's early or maybe they've taken the lead and given up that lead, game's tied, start thinking, how's this going to fall apart tonight? And I'm not saying they're there. I'm saying you do not want to get to that point, because I promise you, no matter how professional a player is or a team is, and even if they won't admit it, I guarantee you that sometimes it happens in sports, even with the highest level, where you have a team that starts to think, what's going to happen tonight? How's this game going to get away from us? I guarantee you that happens, even if they won't tell you. And I just don't want them to get to that point where they start to develop that mindset. And if this goes on for too long, that will happen.
Rooms can fall apart really fast.
That's right.
In sports. And I remember it was a long time ago now when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. I mean, that was pre-pandemic. But the year that they won the Stanley Cup, I'm not saying that they're going to go do it now, but the year they won the Stanley Cup, they were god-awful. I mean, so bad. They hit rock bottom and had to make the coaching change to Berube. And I remember Pat Maroon was the one of them who would bring guys together. He would say, no, you guys have to talk it out.
Yep.
And you. And he was, you had to have these veterans that came in and basically grabbed guys by the equipment, by their pads, and said, hey, you get over here and talk to this guy, and you guys have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know if they have that going on or not. Braden Schenn seems like a capable leader, but who is in that room getting that done? Because I do think it's desperation time for this team. This is a mess right now. They've got to figure it out.
Blues have Vancouver tomorrow, and they need to start playing better football, because you can't have Ackerman over here abandoning the game for UTEP football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't do
like,
that.
Like, hey, I'm turning this off. I'm going to go watch UTEP play on a Tuesday.
But I'm all over college football over the Blues right now on a Saturday. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, well,
but like yesterday, don't make me turn the Blues away to watch. Well, it was the World Series, and it was pretty good, and we're going to get into that next.
Well, tomorrow, there's no World Series tomorrow, but tomorrow you could watch Tulane and UTSA instead.
Yeah, I'll pass.
You want to watch Tulane football?
No, I'm good. Okay. I got Hoosiers, Maryland, 2:30 Saturday, though.
Oh,
tell
man.
You that right now.
We're going to talk about that.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to get into the aforementioned World Series, and then a very interesting conversation with Rob Connolly, who's developed something that's been going on for about a year or so, where you can invest in a minor league player, like literally put money towards his expenses, and then if he makes it big, you get a little piece. We're going to explain what Finleet is on the way. And
it's
of course, yeah, it is actually. And we'll take all of your comments, which are coming in very nicely on YouTube and Facebook and X. And if you want to call in, Matt Pajeska, we'll put him to work too. If you want, 314-436-7900. I know. 314-436-7900. We are the Gas House Gang. We're sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingandCooling.com.
Hit well to deep left center. And this one will go.
That sounded like the Vlad Guerrero home run. No, that was to center. Guerrero hit his to left. But at any rate, I appreciate the highlight, Matt Pajeski.
Hey, Bernie and I might be wrong on that. Remember yesterday we kind of thought the Dodgers would bear down here and this would be over post-haste? Well, I guess not.
Yeah, I said on the show that the Blue Jays had to have it. It was a desperation game for them. Had to have game four. They had to go all out to do all they could to get game four, and Guerrero hit the home run off Shohei Ohtani, a two-run shot, and it was a monster home run. Then they scored four runs in the seventh inning and did what they do. They just strung together hits, and they won the game 6-2, but you know what they did? They pitched extremely well. They had Shane Bieber going 5 1/3, giving up one run, Chris. And then Chris Bassett, he's kind of an unsung hero for this Blue Jays team. Both those guys are so cool. They show no emotion. They just go out there and do it. Bassett's not an overpowering guy, but he has an ERA of 0, and he goes out and throws two scoreless against the heart of the order later in the game, and they win the game 6-2. They slow down the Dodgers. We got ourselves a series. They're going back to Toronto. That place will be nuts. I love it.
I am a big fan, Tom Ackerman, of you. one. I am also a huge fan of a game six. And it's not because we've had some pretty good experience. Well, we had one good experience with a game six. The other one wasn't so great. It's because I love the drama of not knowing if there's going to be a champion that night or if you're playing for one more game. It could be the end of the season or it could be you're about to play one more. I think there's an added element of drama in a game six. So we are at least getting that. And I hope this goes to seven because these two teams are both really good. And I think that ultimately it ended up being maybe the best possible matchup in the World Series. And that could be just hindsight. Maybe that's not fair to the other teams. But I think this ended up being a really good one. And I don't care about the market size or who's interested in what team or that, you know, New York isn't involved. I don't care about any of that stuff. I do care about the quality of the teams. And I think we got about two of the best teams you could have. Well, obviously, the Dodgers are unbelievable. But Toronto is right there.
This is
a good series.
Obviously, this is stating the obvious, but watch out for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
One more opportunity for him to put on a show. Do not give him anything to hit. Nothing. I mean, nothing.
No, and, but no. Still, challenge him.
They struck him out twice.
Challenge him because I want to see some fireworks, baby.
I don't. I don't want to see any of it. No, I don't want the Dodgers to win their ninth World Championship and chase down the Cardinals.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
You don't want to see the best player in the world.
Maybe
history. You don't want to see him, you know, smoking balls into the seats.
No, I don't. I want to see him sweat a little bit. I want to see the best players be challenged and uncomfortable. And yesterday,
yeah,
I actually saw that.
That means you can't walk them.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But I want to see them go through struggles. It's okay. The best players in the world, it can't be automatic. He's the best player that I've ever seen. It's amazing what he does. But yesterday, he showed his human side. He had 18 innings. It was just 17 hours after they finished the game, and he goes out there and he gets hit by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He gives up 4 runs in 6 innings. Admirable effort. I like the start, but he's not a cyborg. I mean, he is a human after all, and they did find a way to beat Ohtani. They struck him out twice, and he could not get through that Blue Jays order. He wanted to go deeper into the game. Now, tonight, they get after it again. Snell, who got destroyed in game one, is back out there. And on the other side, you know what? I think the Blue Jays, I like this young kid, Yesavage. He's 22 years old. That's a great pitching matchup. And then, like you said, the prospect of Toronto going into a game six up 3-2, that place will be out of control at Rogers Center. And then the Dodgers, I could just see them going in there and winning. And forcing a game seven.
Honestly, you know?
That's fun.
You're right. Like I'm going to go back on what I said yesterday that the Dodgers are going to walk away with the rest of this pretty easily. I'm changing my mind on this, which is my right to do. But it does really feel now, and I don't think this is couching it. It just does feel like really anything could happen here because both of these teams are very, very, very good. And we probably underrated Toronto throughout most of the regular season. This is a good baseball team.
They really are. They are fearless. And they're fun. And I love their attitude. They just are enjoying themselves. And they counterpunched. And they got the Dodgers yesterday. We have ourselves a series. We're going
to
talk.
Was it we were talking to, Matt Pajeski? On the Chris and Amy show, we were talking Canadian tariffs a couple of days ago. Who's the reporter that we have from CNN? Paula Newton. We're talking to Paula Newton about tariffs and taxes, and she goes, can we talk about this Yesavage guy instead? She's like, yes, because they are so excited about the Blue Jays and what they're doing, and I get it. She's right. Yeah.
Good people, good sports town, and the Maple Leafs haven't won since the 60s.
They'll never win.
And now you've got the Blue Jays on the cusp. They're 2 wins away.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Everybody loves talking Cardinals prospects. That is a huge, huge topic on the internets out there. I think there are a lot of prospect watchers, aren't there? Everybody seems to have a blog about Cardinals prospects.
Yeah.
It's its own world. It really is.
We call it an ecosystem.
It is. People are interested. So we're going to do that. But right now, in a different sort of way, joining us is Rob Connolly. He is the founder of Finleet, which is, I think, fascinating. And I've done a little poking around and research on this, and I've read and heard a lot about it. And now it is to the point where we just have to have Rob on KMOX, the radio home of the St. Louis Cardinals, to put this one out there. I think this is worthy of a strong conversation here. How are you, Rob?
Guys, I'm pretty good. I might be a little bit out of breath. I'm traveling at SFO right now, and I had the most private, quiet place to do this interview until this gentleman decided to start playing his ukulele next to me. So I had to make a quick...
We like ukuleles.
A legit ukulele?
At the airport. Yeah. So I had to make a quick little run, but we're good now and excited to talk about Finley and some of your prospects and how this all works.
SFO will do that. You'll see all kinds of characters coming through there. And Nashville's kind of where most of that happens. You'll see some music being played throughout the Nashville airport.
Ukulele. Where's TSA on this? The guy out of there.
They have their own issues right now with the shutdown.
Yeah,
well,
I guess it's
well, that's true. A whole other topic for another show. Rob, let me start with this. Just give us an overview of Finleet, which is... Do I have this right? In basic terms, it's an opportunity for people, and I'm talking about the public, to invest in a minor league prospect. And if they make it big, you see a return.
Yeah, very, very close. Yeah, so we're a platform that allows athletes to raise capital from fans in exchange for a percentage of their potential future earnings. Exactly. So the fans are able to invest in the career of these prospects. The capital goes to help them maximize their on-the-field potential, give them the best chance to reach the big leagues. And should they do, they are able to then reward the people that believe in them the most at the earliest stages by giving them a dividend, which is a percentage of every dollar they make in their big league career.
Now, people might listen to this and say, well, that's why didn't they think of that before? They actually did. Wasn't this something that normally would be handled by private hedge funds? Like, the public didn't have the opportunity to do this before.
That's exactly right. We learned that a player for the Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr., where I'm from, San Diego, did this with a private hedge fund. And we were like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I didn't know you could actually do this. And we found out that their minimum investment at the time was $1 million. And I thought, wow, like, you know, the baseball card industry is $5 billion. Wouldn't it be so much better to be able to buy a baseball card that paid a dividend versus just a piece of paper? And so we wanted to find a way that would allow everyone the ability to, you know, back these players for as little as $300. And that's what we built.
So the player is paid directly by these investments from individuals, private individuals, right? My question here is this all because minor league players really don't make all that much money and oftentimes struggle to even make ends meet while they're playing?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, there's no repricing model in the minor league system. All the players make exactly the same. So if you don't get a large signing bonus, you're going to spend years struggling in through the minor leagues, riding buses, trying to make ends meet. So this is a way where the fans are able to say, hey, this is a really good prospect. Look at Yario Padilla. He's unbelievable. Let's help this athlete maximize his potential and make it easier for him to succeed and make it to the major league level.
Couple of prospects to talk about here. So one who you're collaborating with is infield prospect Yairo Padilla. He's a young one. And then Leonardo Bernal, who we know very well. That one worked out pretty well, I would say, for you.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Yeah, so we targeted Bernal before he's even the top 100 prospect. He had a lot of, you know, stats that really stood out to us. And he was looking to raise capital. He was going to do a deal with his hedge fund. And we were able to give him a slightly better deal and allow fans to back him. And seeing that he's now a top 100 prospect, one of the top catching prospects in all of baseball, it's just so exciting to be able to support this player and let the fans back him. And he can feel that. It's truly incredible.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. I was going to say now we have Yario Padilla, and we are just equally excited about how great he is and all the stats and progress he's showing just at 18. So, yeah.
How do you get to certain players? Is it a situation where you have to have a conversation with them as a company and then go from there, or do players approach you? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. Luckily, we've gotten our name out there, and a lot of minor league baseball players know about our platform. So we're getting more inbound than ever before, but it's a lot of us reaching out and just telling them, you know, how excited we are about them, and tell them about the platform and tell them about the fan bases that want to support them. And that's, you know, just that conversation with them, their family, their agents, you know, is how it all starts.
You know, there's a good question on our YouTube feed along the lines of something I wanted to ask about the player himself. So what safeguards are in place to ensure that prospects aren't pressured into signing away future earnings too early?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the best thing we do is we just make sure that everything's laid out for them in their language, in English, whatever language it is. We have deep conversations with their families. We have an entire map, like, equation they have to fill out saying that, you know, if you make $500 million in your career, how much would you owe the fans? Just so they're fully aware of the whole thing. And we want to make sure, you know, our deals are fair for both the athletes and the fans. It's got to be both, you know, it's got to be equally fair for everyone. So it's just being upfront with the platform, giving everybody all the information they need to make informed decisions. And then we just hope that, you know, everything works out well for everybody.
And I know the obvious question that a lot of people are going to ask is, first of all, this is great that some of these players can get some additional funds so that they can better live while they're doing the minor league thing. But also, why does it have to be this way? Could teams just not pay their players a little bit better even at the minor league level?
Yeah, they really could. I mean, I don't want to get too much into, you know, how MLB should run their business, but a lot of these players do financially struggle, and there's a lot of misevaluations. I mean, it's really hard to predict how good a 16-year-old is going to be when they're in the Dominican and how they're going to translate as a professional baseball player by the time they're 22 or 23. So there's definitely changes that could be made. We, you know, our primary focus is how can we help players now under the current rules, and how can we give them the best chance to maximize their on-the-field potential.
This is Rob Connolly, the founder of FinLead. Two-part question here. One, is this progressing as you thought it might when you first took a look at it? And secondly, would you consider, have you considered looking at other sports?
Yeah, so it has progressed a lot like we thought it has. It's actually been a lot faster than we expected. We knew we had a really cool company just by talking with people about these opportunities and then also talking to the athletes about a different way they could raise capital outside of these hedge funds. So it's been great. Other sports, yes, we are definitely looking at other sports. We were waiting for the right opportunity. We really love baseball. We love the data that we have. We can make very informed decisions based off of, you know, prospects, their rankings, their grades, and try to figure out a best valuation. It gets a little bit harder in other sports, but we're definitely always open to other opportunities.
And so, again, it's not every single minor league player is available to be, you know, to take an investment in. The investments start at $300, right? That's the lowest amount that you can invest. The percentage that you get, if, you know, everything goes well for the player making it to the big leagues, is that negotiable? Is it static? How does that work?
Yeah, so every deal is a little bit different with the athlete. It really depends on the athlete's rankings and projections that we've built out. So, for example, you might have a prospect with the Yankees, Carlos LaGrange. He's a lot higher than Yario Padilla. LaGrange is the number 74th prospect in all of baseball. That's 102. And Yario Padilla is still making a name for himself in the complex league, which has been unbelievable. So everything's different. But the way we've structured it is for every 1% of future earnings an athlete's willing to sell, we create 100,000 shares. And the reason for that is it keeps everything the same across the board. So if you have 1,000 shares in Yario Padilla and 1,000 shares in Leonardo Bernal, effectively it's exactly the same percentage of future earnings in both of the athletes. It's just the share price might be a little bit different.
Wow, it's really interesting. It's described, FinLead is described as a platform that is creating a pathway for fans and investors to invest in the potential future earnings of some of MLB's top prospects. They have Yario Padilla, a Cardinals prospect, as well as a catcher that you well know by now. We've talked about him a lot, Leonardo Bernal. Rob Connolly is the founder of FinLead. And how can people learn more?
Yeah, you can go to finlead.com, FINLETE.com. You can look at all the different prospects. We have built-in calculators that you can adjust your investment amount how much projected career earnings a player could have. You could see your returns. And we provide a ton of data on there for everybody. So check us out at finleaf.com.
Tell you what, Rob, we appreciate your time today. If you go find that ukulele player and you smash that ukulele in the airport, I will put in $300 right now. I will give Yairo Padilla $300 right now.
You get the guy escorted out of the terminal.
But I want proof.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Have a good one. Appreciate you. Right. There he is. Rob Connolly, the San Diegan. I can say that because my sister lives in San Diego.
Oh,
San Diegan.
San Diegan.
Yeah, we're St. Louisans. He's a San Diegan.
I don't like San Diegan.
You don't?
I don't like the way it sounds.
When we come back, this is a decent segue here. When we come back, there's someone we know very well who has interviewed not once but twice with the San Diego Padres. And I do believe he is the front runner right now. We shall see. They spent several hours yesterday with Albert Pujols.
Uh-oh.
Back after this. I mean, not to throw water on our own game, but Ravens-Dolphins is not the best game I'd come up with. But it is what it is. The NFL just kind of like, the Commanders look pretty bad.
Well, Lamar's coming back tomorrow.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, but man, I don't know. The Dolphins are. Well, the Dolphins did win last week. The other thing.
Ravens won last week, too. I think they cheated.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, buddy.
Did they cheat?
The Commanders seemingly are in prime time every weekend, too, and they're not very good.
You know who beat the Commanders?
They were going to be. The Chiefs.
Yeah, you know who else?
Who? Oh, the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears beat them.
I know they did.
So maybe Washington just stinks.
How about this story that came out this morning? The Padres began the second. This is from Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune. He'll be all over this.
He's been killing it on the Albert Pujols beat.
He'll break this if it comes true. The Padres began the second round of interviews for their managerial opening on Tuesday by hosting Albert Pujols for several hours. It is not known how many other candidates remain, though the Padres have narrowed the search to whom they consider finalists. Second round of interviews being conducted in person after candidates and team officials spoke over Zoom last week. Their bench coach, Brian Esposito, pitching coach, Ruben Niebla, in the first round of interviews, not known who else was interviewed. They have prioritized secrecy in the search, but Pujols was supposed to be on the
World Series coverage and couldn't because he was interviewing.
That's right.
That means it's serious.
It is getting very serious. I think it's a great, great, great fit for him. I mean, for a first-year manager, but he's not just your guy off the street. It's Albert Pujols. He commands respect.
So we knew that he wasn't going to be the Angels manager, and it kind of sounds like he just didn't want that job. And I don't blame him, because even though they have employed him and so on and so forth, I don't think that's a situation you want to actually manage. The Padres, on the other hand, that organization is trying to win, and they might swing and miss, but they try, and they've got a good team right now with a lot of talent.
Cole Bassett's left foot says, Mr. Ackerman would love to invest in Indiana football players. Buddy, that's called NIL, and they are backing up the truck for players, coaches, and everything else at Indiana University. They got some deep pockets there.
Who are they losing to this week? Who is it?
They're at Maryland, and they're 22-point favorites.
Yeah, never mind. Enjoy being number one in the country.
I get concerned about every game until they kick off, and then I realize
Maryland
how good
stinks.
They are.
You're fine.
It's going to be amazing. What a season this is. We will be back tomorrow. Actually, Chris will with Bernie.
Yeah,
Bernie McGuinness. On the Gas House Gang. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to everyone.
Good luck to your Hoosiers, pal.
Thanks, buddy. DGS is next.